a few announcements for you. Here's one from the CD table. That would be a... Is the table making an announcement? No. So teens, that would be a figure of speech. Good. From the CD table. Those who requested a teaching set of the Day in God's Word on dealing with the adversary, your copies are ready for pickup. We have our men's prayer breakfast coming up this Saturday at 9 a.m. And we also have our July to September newsletters available in the lobby. And I also want to remind you, also in the lobby, we've got registration forms for the intermediate class that's coming up at the end of the month or towards the end of the month. It's not open to the general public, but if you've had that foundational class on walking in God's power, it's open to you. And it's just a great presentation and a great concentrated time of looking at the manifestation of interpretation of tongues and prophecy specifically. So if you haven't been a part of that before or have been and want to repeat it, the forms are out there. Or I suppose if they have any questions, Ken, they could talk to you. There he is right there in the back. So that's coming up as well, and please remember that and remember it in your prayers as well, if you would. Well, the big announcement is that we just got back from teen camp. I feel like my body and mind are somewhere on Route 33 still on the crawling back up here to Columbus, but I suppose I'm here. This was just every year I say they're wonderful, and probably every year I say this was the greatest camp. But I've got to say this particular camp really surprised me. I mean, they're always surprising. I mean, and when people visit, camp staff and other people, they're often amazed to see teens who are actually interested in God's Word without prompting. I got over the surprise of that a long time ago. But, it is a wonderful thing to see people's jaws drop when they see that there's free time and the teens are using their free time to study God's Word, to help each other with God's Word, to pray together, to minister healing one to another, instead of doing things that teens ought to be doing. Well, I firmly believe that in many cases, the only reason teens fall to that level is because we expect them to. And at camp, we expect them to rise to the level of their hunger. And yet this year, I was surprised because this year we handled some very, very challenging material. I made the decision quite a while back that this year we would go through some of the material on actually how to study the Word of God, how to put the Word of God together, the keys to interpreting the Word of God. That's more challenging because you're not directly teaching the Word. You're teaching people how to study the Word. You understand? When you're teaching God's Word, people get immediate gratification from that. When you're teaching them how to study God's Word, it's not always the most exciting thing in the world, unless you're excited about studying God's Word, and that's what amazed me. I fully expected on a couple of mornings in particular that I would lose half the group because it was such challenging material. And I think, where's Josh? You in here? I think there were some mornings I went longer than I've ever gone in a teaching at a teen camp because the hunger was just there. So I was blown away and so proud of our teens. And so proud of you moms and dads who sent them, because clearly they didn't become so great on Route 33. you had something to do with it. But as always, after our teen camp, we like to give our teens and our staff a chance to share. And I'd be blessed for any and all who desire to do that to line up over here, if you would. And we'll bring you up one at a time. We have a new innovation this year. Well, I guess that's redundant, a new innovation. We've got two mics. You old dinosaurs will remember we used to have somebody here to adjust the mic, and then one of our brilliant AV staff said, why not just put up two mics, a tall mic and a short mic, and then we don't have to do that. I'm not sure why it took us this long to figure it out, but here we go. And wonderful. I think, Kathy, you said you wanted to go first, right? Don't I know you from somewhere? Okay. Yeah, I think I do. This is my wife, Kathy, for those of you who don't know her. That was a little joke, but we haven't seen much of each other lately, but we were both at teen camp, weren't we? And Kathy, go ahead.
I was on staff at teen camp. Obviously, I'm not a teen. And I started out the week, the first morning we met with the staff, and for those of you who don't know, Dustin and Bridget oversee the kitchen and oversee the staff that work in the kitchen and help do things at camp. And for those of you who also don't know, Bridget is my daughter. And we started out that morning with some reproof. And we were sent to the prayer room while they prepared breakfast. And so I went to the prayer room. And I guess, first of all, Ephesians 5:21 applies to all of us, submitting one to another in this body of Christ, whether it's a young person speaking God's word or an older person speaking God's word. It doesn't really matter whether it's your daughter, whether it's your husband, whether it's, you know, a 13-year-old teen speaking God's word. We can choose to submit one to another. And God asks us to do that. And none of us are above needing doctrine, reproof, and correction. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the word, which, by the way, is kind of a weird expression. How long have you been in the word? Maybe 2 seconds. I mean, how long have I been in the word, you know, up here? I mean, it's not that we got born again and have always been in the word of God, you know. And anyway, that was just one I thought I'd like to get rid of. But we're required to submit one to another. And so I went to the prayer room, and as I was praying, I realized that I had not prepared my heart to be there. Now, those of you who also know, I'm on camp staff. I handle registrations. I type up lists. I iron his clothes so he can teach the word. There's a lot I'm doing to prepare for camp. It's not that I'm not prepared in that sense, but I realized I wasn't prepared to be there and to serve with the heart God needed. I was not locked in at all to what needed to happen that week in camp. Yeah, the physicals were, I was like Martha in the record of Mary and Martha. I had been very busy doing things that were good, that were necessary perhaps, but I hadn't prepared my heart for what God wanted to have happen. I hadn't prepared my heart to serve with the heart God needs us to serve him with. I hadn't prepared my heart to receive the word of life. Because we're not just there to cook food. We're there because we need to be there as well. And so that's what I wanted to share.
That reminds me, we made a special exemption this year. You know, we've got an age limit on teen camp. We made an exception for two of our campers this year. And worked out pretty well, actually, didn't it? So... Bridget, you want to come up and talk about that? Would you? Can you? Okay. Yay. Bridget and Dustin, as Kathy said, were in charge of our staff and our kitchen. Bridget also has personal knowledge more personal knowledge than I do of the special exemptions that we made this year. So she'll tell you about them, okay?
Yep. Well, in case you haven't figured it out, we brought two babies. Not just for fun, but and it was pretty cool for me to learn to understand that this is something I knew that God had called Dustin and I, my husband Dustin and I, to oversee certain things at teen camp for a number of years and a number of years in the future, hopefully. And we had a baby, so. That kind of complicated things a little bit, but we talked things through, and just because we hadn't ever brought babies to teen camp didn't really mean anything. So we considered it and made a decision, brought two babies, and it added some complications. But for me personally, it was a great joy to learn how to serve and take care of the other responsibilities that I had that week and to allow other people to help take care of me in that service. That's all.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you, dear. Yeah. So we had Teddy Doherty and we had Jason Carotti, and they were a blessing, and their moms were amazing. And what I loved was seeing the one body, too, how both of those women came in, certainly loving and caring moms, but but also knowing the doctrine of Ephesians. And when something, when a need needed to be taken care of with one of the teens, they'd hand the baby to one of the other believers and go take care of that need. You know, not haphazardly, not just, you know, someone who they knew would care and somebody who they knew would have their eyes open. But they, it so blessed me that that love of God in the one body, believe it or not, moms, it's even more powerful than that motherly instinct of no one can touch my baby but me. It was a great example to me to see that from those two ladies and their children through the course of the week. So I wanted to throw that in as well. So now we begin with our teens, and I think a couple of staff scattered in among them. It looks like everybody who was at camp is lined up. That's great. I would just encourage you, since I see all the Bibles, that's a good thing. If you could refrain from doing a full teaching, okay, just for sake of time. If there's a verse you want to refer to in your sharing, by all means, that's always helpful. But, you know, keep in mind, if it's quarter to 11 and we're down to Will, or quarter to 12 and we're down to Will, then, you know, you want to pay a little bit of attention to that without stifling any of the heart of what you want to share, okay? So what we're going to do is, I'm not going to be up here to introduce each of you. Come up front, tell us who you are, tell us how old you are. If you're on staff, you don't have to tell us how old you are. And tell us how, what, do you remember how many years you've been at camp? I don't remember those things anymore. So good. Take it away, dear.
Okay. Hi, my name is Lauren Donahue. I'm 18. This is my fifth year at teen camp. And something that really blessed me this year was, I guess in a nutshell, it was God's love for us. But I saw it totally different than I've ever seen it before. There was a teaching Josh did, and it was such a blessing because he just taught. It was like he was just teaching the facts of it, but there was also so much heart behind it just because it was God's word and just because Josh was adhering to what God wanted to tell us. And it was about the crucifixion, and it was just, I saw it so much bigger than I had ever done before. And instead of seeing it, you know, on the surface, you always know that this is your Lord. This was a man who died for you. But this year, I saw this was Jesus Christ, the perfect man and my king who died for me. You know, my savior, not someone else's. He's everybody's savior, but he's my savior too. And I saw God's love in that so much bigger than I'd ever seen it before. And that night I just decided that I wanted to be able to just always know God's love in my heart every single day. And one verse that one of my sisters in Christ showed me one night when there was something heavy on my heart was Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And when you love God as much as he's made us capable of loving him, who can you desire besides him? Or what can you desire? And what was really heavy on my heart was like marriage. And marriage is a good thing. It's something God set up, but it's not the way the world sees it. That's not how God wants us to see it. Like, the world teaches us, like, you know, you and your husband are going to be completely devoted to each other. You're not going to love anybody else but each other. And that can be true, but like, you have to have God above each other. And it's like, it's not just marriage, it's in any relationship. You have to have God above anybody around you and even above yourself. And that's what really, really hit my heart this week. It just like floored me. Like, not only is it possible, but it's fulfilling. It's not stupid. It's not like empty that, you know, you only love God, but it's like God, the tender Father who sent his Son and who said all those things in the manifestations this morning, that's the Father that we can love, that we can be completely devoted to, and he'll guide us just like he guided Jesus Christ. Like, the confidence that Jesus had was in his Father and in his Father's love for him, and that's how, you know, he walked around and, you know, saved people and healed people and eventually laid down his life. You know, it was his love and his devotion to his Father that made that available. Like in Proverbs 3:5, it says, I'll flip to it so I don't misquote it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Tom told us that direct thy paths is a better translation of it is he'll make thy path straight. And when you go to God in everything that you do, he'll make you a path that's straight. It's like it's not your own path that will become straight. It's like you'll have God's ways in your heart, and it'll be a straight path for you. So that's what I had to share.
Hi, I'm Mark Musil. I'm 16 years old, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. And this year, I really learned about the love of Christ as well as Lauren. I got to get into the Gospels a little bit earlier in the week, and I saw how when Christ was talking to people, he talked to them in the most loving manner possible. And by that, I mean he gave them the truth, and he told them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. So, like, even when he was talking to the Pharisees and he was, like, being all, like, upfront with them, he was doing it because he loved them. And that was his true motive. And it culminated in Josh Thomas's teaching Thursday night when he talked about the crucifixion. And in Luke 23, verse 43, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The point he made was that comma should be moved from unto thee to today. So it says, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it just occurred to me, I'm angry with people when I have like a headache. But like when Christ was hanging on that tree, he took the time to tell this man that today I'm promising you, you will be with me in paradise. It's like it hit me for the first time how much what Christ has done for us, like how much love that took. And everything was just in perspective for me for the first time, and it was so beautiful. And that's all I have to share.
Hi, my name is Dakota Hansen. I am 19, and this is my seventh year at teen camp. Really, the thing that hit me the most this year, honestly, was that it's not an empty word of God. I've been at teen camp for a long time. 7 years is quite a bit. So I've heard a lot of Word of God. I've grown up in this stuff. But it just amazed me how God is able to open his Word every single time you go to it with humility. And the fact that this is the Word of God, that he proved it. He took the time to not just say, "All right, I'm God. I say this is my Word. Believe it." He laid it out in such a loving manner to show us that this was the Christ, the one to believe on. And not only that, but how to walk with him, how to prove his love, that he gave us his Spirit. Just things that we kind of consider basic or anything like that, but I just endeavor to come to this week humbly and trusting in him, and he was able to open the Word so much to me just in that regard of this is his Word and this is something that is worth believing and it is powerful. So that's pretty much what I had to share.
Hi, I'm Josh, and one thing that really blessed me this week was just remembering the spirit of sonship that we've received and not the spirit of bondage. Kind of our unofficial theme for the week was Luke 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And just that God has given us this word for life, and it applies to life. And you know, for us in the new covenant, you know, we haven't primarily been given a law, like a set of rules to like, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. But we've been given a new nature to walk by. And I was just reminded of that this week and just how fun it is to walk in that new nature and to just not judge yourself according to, well, this person's over here praying, this person's over there, you know, ministering God's word, this person went on a walk, this person's cleaning a floor, you know, what should I be doing? And trying to judge what I should be doing based off what other people are doing. And thinking, oh, if I do this, what will this person think? And just realizing that that's a spirit of bondage. That's not the spirit of freedom that I've been given in Christ. And it's so much fun. I was reminded of, you know, if you're like me, you're tempted to fall into that sometimes. Well, what will this person think if I go over here and do this? And just reminded that, you know, well, what would God think if I actually listened to him and did what he wants me to do, right? So I was just so thankful for that spirit of sonship that we've received, and it's a lot of fun to walk in if you've never tried, so try it.
Hi, I'm Philip Buckingham. I'm 16. This is my first teen camp. I was just, like a lot of people, I was really blessed by Josh Thomas' teaching regarding Jesus. Well, I'm not quite sure what the teaching was about, but I do remember what really hit me was how Jesus Christ's love for people while he was on the cross. He wasn't concerned about himself. He had such a focus for why he was there and what he was attempting, what he was accomplishing for us. And I was just blown away by how the body of Christ isn't just comprised of carnal people. It's something that God made to build itself up together in love. And I was really thankful that I could be a part of that, and just blessed by all the teens that were here to accomplish a purpose, and just God really worked in me to show me that I have a vision for my life, and it's what God wants me to do, and God's word is something that I can walk out on day by day. It's not something that lives just in teen camp. And it's just really exciting to see my vision is God's word and Jesus Christ, and that's something that I can do throughout my whole life, and just thankful that there's the body of Christ there to help out, and we all go to the word, and it's one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all. So yeah, that's what I was blessed by.
Hi, I'm Sarah McCracken, and I'm 17, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. And a few things I learned this week was when studying the Word of God, you have to study it as the Word of God. And it's not a cookbook or a history book or a book of poems. Even though it may have history in it and it may have a poem in it, even though God's Word may have those things in it, that's not what God has made His Word to be. The Word of God, it's either what it says it is, or it's not, or what it's not. It's nothing. And in the Old Testament and the New, it claims to be God's Word. Like in Psalms 119, 160, and it says, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and from every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." From this verse here, God's Word claims to be true from the beginning and claims to endure and to last forever. So either it's true and lasts, or it isn't true and doesn't last. We have to make the choice for ourselves. No one can make that choice for us if we decide that this is the Word of God. We have to make it for our own. No one else can make it for you. We have to take God at His Word. We have to believe Him, or we don't believe Him. Also, a few other things that hit me about believing is the fact that it's never the power of believing that your faith can make it happen, or the magic of believing. There's no effort in my part in believing at all. And that it's God who makes the effort on it. It's not that I do it, but I have to trust the person. I have to trust the source, and I have to trust I have to trust those words. I have to trust the source from which the words are coming from. And with the Word of God, it's God who is the source. And so how do I trust God? I trust Him by getting to know Him, because if I don't know someone, then I can't trust them at all. And the way we get to know God is by reading His Word, reading what He has written down for us. And the more I read His Word and see His faithfulness time after time, the more I get to know Him, the more I trust Him, and the more His Word I can believe in and what He has made me to be and called me to do it or not do. It all starts with reading His Word, and that's what I have to share.
Hi, Hi, I'm Maddie Mraz, and I am 15, and this is my second year at Teen Camp. I was blessed by, like, a ton of things this week, but one thing that I wanted to pick out from it was a record we looked at, and it was Tuesday night, and we looked at a record in Mark 3, verses 1 through 5, and I'll read it. It's, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with an anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And that was really, really big to me, because this week, of all weeks, I came to teen camp, and I needed healing. And, I hadn't dealt with it up to them or, like, really thought about it. Mostly I was putting it off, not something I really should have done. But I looked at this and I saw how great, like, how we can be healed at all. And the fact that it was a withered hand he had, and it was something he had his whole life. It wasn't, like, what I needed to be healed, which was something I just had, like, for a short amount of time, or whether something you have for a short amount of time, like a stomach ache or a headache or something. He had this withered hand his whole life, and Jesus came up to him and told him to stretch out his hand, and he believed automatically, and he just did, and it was healed, and it was fine. And that was really amazing to me, because my healing that I needed, it wasn't like something I had my whole life where people have told me, you're never going to be able to be healed. You've been born with this. You can't get rid of it. It was something that I could get rid of. And other than that, Jesus got rid of it, and we have the power to do that too. So that week, I just, like, was thinking about that for a while and having true believing about it, and I got my healing, and it was just like that, just like as fast as people can heal, you can be healed. And about believing, it was hard for me to believe, but, like, when I read this record, it just, like, it was amazing, because it's not, like, believing is something you can do, believing is something you do every day, and believing healing, maybe it seems difficult, but it really isn't, especially if you have something like this man, a withered hand, and you can't, it's really hard to believe something you've known your whole life, the opposite of it. Everything contradicts what you know, and then someone tells you that you have the option to do what is impossible, and you take that, and then you can do the impossible, and that's what really blessed me.
Hi, I'm Will Browder. I'm 18, and I think this is my fifth year at teen camp. But one of the nights Josh taught, no, it's not the crucifixion, he taught on the difference between identical and similar scriptures, and we went to the section where Jesus Christ comes up to Peter after he had left and tells him to forsake his nets, and Peter comes and follows him. And we looked at it, and there was a couple things that just couldn't match up. They couldn't be the same. It was obvious that you can't give your heart to God and then not give your heart to God in another one. So when we got finished looking at it, it ended up that Peter actually got called to follow Jesus Christ three times. And only after the third time did he say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And it really hit me then that before I had thought that giving my heart to God would be this instantaneous, just one-time thing, and I would give my entire heart to God and I could walk for him. And then just realizing that, you know, even with Peter, the guy who was able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and teach the word of God, that it took him three times to finally not just say, okay, I'll follow you, master, teacher, but okay, I'll follow you, Lord. you know, and I really realized that giving my heart to God, it's a everyday, every situation thing. It's not once. It's every single time something comes up, it's, God, I'm going to give my heart to you. I give you this situation. And that's what I learned. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Shannon McCracken, and this teen camp made me really realize, like, what God's word is, and I saw it in a whole different light. Like, before, it was just, like, something I went to every day that would help me along my life, but it's not that. It's, like, way deeper than that. Like, it's something that, I don't know, it's, you, like, can't describe it when you really think about it. It's, like, it's amazing to see, like, how he takes care of you, and just sometimes you forget stuff like that, and, like, I don't know, my whole entire life I've, like, wanted to live for God, but I never really knew what that, like, statement meant. It's not only, like, living for him, it's standing, and it's like a real, like, legit relationship with him that, like, I didn't have before teen camp, and it just really, like, it blessed me. But seeing teens after, like, the teachings and stuff was really cool because, I don't know, seeing their heart where it was at, like, not just, like, going off and, you know, doing this or doing that, but they were, like, looking into the Word, wanting to study the Word and stuff. And something that Tom had said that really, like, I don't know, opened it up for me, it's God never promises to help us with our ways, but he promises, like, that if we learn his ways, we adopt his ways, that then he can help us because it's him and his ways, and it's just something that we can't do on our own. And it's just amazing to see that, so... Oh, I'm 13, and it's my first year.
Hi, I'm Molly, and this is my first year at teen camp. I'm 13. And before teen camp, I was, like, reading the Word wasn't at the top of my list. It was, like, something I'd avoid. And so that was one of my goals this week, to, like, build the desire to read his Word. And after the week, I don't know, all those teachings, just, I got excited about reading the Word, and I came home, and I went to my room, and I was like, I want to read the Word, so I did, and I was really blessed, and it was cool. So, and another thing that really blessed me was, this is a verse, you don't have to go there, it's Galatians 5:13-14, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, wow, this is really cool to me, because God doesn't have to specify every rule, like, don't push each other over. Because when we walk in love, we're kind, and we don't need every single rule. And at teen camp, everyone, this just applied there, because everyone was so kind and loving one another, and you could just take pretty much anyone and say, hey, I need to go pray, or do you want to go read this? And they'd say, sure, because we're one body and everyone loves each other, and I thought this was really cool. So that's what I wanted to share.
Hello, my name is David Gilbert. I'm 19, and this is a fifth year teen camp, I think. Right away in the week, I got really just, like, convicted. The first night is different this year because Tom didn't... Normally, he has a teaching the first night when we get there. And this year, rather than teaching, he kind of just told us that it's going to be, like, a serious week and something he'd never done before that he's going to do with us, and that we were going to take the night off, which is something that I personally really needed. And Tom must have been walking with God, because I came into the week thinking, like, I was so prepared for this, you know, so prepared for this teen camp. And it's kind of what, like what Kathy was saying, I realized really quick that I wasn't prepared. One of the things Tom said the first night was, like, this wasn't Tom's expectation, but he said, like, in 20 years from now, like, probably, like, only 8 of you will be standing. And it's not like that's what Tom wanted. That wasn't his expectation, but that was, like, the reality. Because, like, you know, the devil just robs so many of our hearts, you know. And he meant really standing. Not just coming to fellowship every Sunday, you know, but really making, like, that moment-by-moment effort to stand on God's word, like, making the decision in your mind, like, God's word is the only thing I want, and, like, without it, I'm empty. You know, God's word is what I need. And I just looked at myself, like, and then we went to fellowships after that, and everyone was like, yeah, you know, I want to be one of those eight, you know, that stand. And, like, I went back, and I said that, too, and I was like, yeah, but when I went back to my bunk at night, I was like, praying to God, and I realized, you know, I'm not at the point yet where that's what I want. Like, when I look at my life, there's so many things that I want instead of God's word. And it was cool because later in the week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, we were teaching on the sower and the seed again, and they brought up the plant with good ground, but, like, the weeds grow up with it. And I was just thinking, like, how many times in our lives, like, do we go back and, like, you know, trim the weeds, but then we're like, oh, that's good for a while, so I'm gonna like, leave my garden alone, and I'm going to go somewhere else. And, like, you come back, and there are, like, so many more weeds because you're, like, you think it's good, but, you know, you have to keep going back. Like, if any of you garden, like, weeds just don't go away. You have to keep coming back to the garden to, like, nurture it. And, like, that's, like, your life. Like, you don't get complacent with where you are, like, spiritually, because then there's no room for growth, you know. And just realizing that, like, at the beginning of the week, like, I'm really thankful that that happened, like, early on rather than later. But there's so much more I got out of the week. Like, I'll just share one more thing. It's so nice to be around, like, a wonderful group of believers. I only have, like, a small fellowship where I come from, but, like, just being around, like, this body of people, and there's so much, you see God's love, like, so real, and everyone taking care of each other. It's just, like, such an awesome thing to be around, and not only with, like, reproof, but, like, encouraging one another, and just, like, you really see God's love and God's work. Like, even though these teens are only, like, 13, 14, 15 years old, like, you see God work through them. Like, it doesn't require an age to serve God. And I just thought that was really cool.
Just going to clarify, great sharing, by the way, but that eight wasn't like prophecy. That it was 8, 10, 12, you know, it wasn't, it's just, I mean, I know you know that, just so they don't write it down and say, thus saith the Lord, 8 teens will be standing. So, but the point being is, I trust you understood that, you know, we get this notion that, well, I was raised in the Word, and I'm going to marry someone who's a believer and go to a good fellowship, and therefore, automatically I'm standing. No, I'm exposing myself to things related to God's word, perhaps, but standing for God is a daily choice, like so many of these wonderful teens have shared. It's a daily choice, you know, making him, you know, forsaking all and following him. It's a daily choice, because daily we're faced with situations that cause us to either forsake him or forsake the situation. That's standing on God's word. And so, just so you understand, it wasn't prophecy, and it wasn't intended to discourage, but just to so the teens understood at this age, despite what they may have assumed, that, you know, growing to become a man of God or a woman of God who truly makes a difference is the sum of many small choices that are made in your teenage years, in your 20s, in your education, in who you marry, and how you raise your kids, and on and on and on. And I know you understood that, but now the rest of them do a little better, okay? So, thanks. God bless.
Hi, I'm Kristen Kelly. I'm 20, and this was my 8th teen camp. And like Cody said earlier, you know, I've obviously been here a couple times before. But one of the biggest things that blessed me was, I think it was the first or second teaching that Tom did, pretty much just about what God's word is. And it's something that I've learned like 8 million times and forgotten 8 million times. But just the fact that God Almighty, the powerful, mighty, glorious God, he has one thing that he wants us to know. And it's what he's written in his word. And, you know, we've all heard a million times, like, God's word's important. You know, you got to read it. You got to believe it. But seriously, it's God's word. Like, it's what he wants us to know. And I really let that sink into my heart. And then I read Romans afterwards, and I was just blown away. Like, God wanted this, you know? Oh, it's so amazing that it's not just a book of good ideas or a book of good things to do or something, like, I look more spiritual when I read it. It's It's what God wants us to know. And when you open it, like, you can ask him to enlighten your eyes, but you realize that this is the most precious thing ever. And if God's word really is what he says it is, that it can direct my paths, that I can get to know God by believing what it says, that this is the best news ever, you know? This is available to us. You don't, it's that verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, someone already said it, where trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's true. If your path is crooked, you just need to trust him, and it won't be anymore. And it's not magic. And I've, like I said, I've been to teen camp 8 different times, and it's still the same thing every time. It's God's word that changes you. It's not an emotional experience. It's not being around spiritual people necessarily. It's believing the words that God gave you to believe, and he is the one that has the power. And you get transformed, and it's crazy. You don't ever think maybe you can change a certain thing. No matter how callous your heart is, like how many times you've fallen on your face by, you know, obeying the adversary, like God's word is what changes you, and it's pretty freaking awesome that it's always there, and you're never hopeless, you know? Open up the book, believe what it says, and you're good. I don't know. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dawn. I'm 18, and this is my 5th year at teen camp. And one of the biggest things for me this year was the teaching that Tom opened up with, or sharing. It wasn't so much a teaching. Like David said, he did tell us, you know, like in a, what, like 20 years, you know, there will be only 8 of us standing. And I did the same thing David did, where it's like, am I genuinely looking at my life and fighting for that? But throughout the week and after this week, everything that we've learned how to look at the word, how to read the word and read it for what it says, like see what God has meant, like with Josh's teaching that everyone shared on. When you read what God wrote and not what man put in there, you see God's heart. And that's all of what God's word is for us. It's his heart to us, to know him, to see him, to live for him. And that's the whole point of his word, that we live for him. So like halfway through the week, I was talking with a sister, and we decided, like, no offense, but let's prove Tom wrong. Let's be all 40 of us standing, because we have this body of Christ. We know how to study the word. We know how to fight for each other. It doesn't have to be just 8 of us standing. It's a spiritual fight for our lives, but there can be more than just 8 of us standing. And I know it wasn't a prophecy, but that's the truth. You know, when we fight for our own lives and for each other, then, you know, we can have that. So, yeah.
I'm Cassie Jobin. I'm 16 years old. This is my 4th year at teen camp. And there was a lot of things that blessed me this week, but a couple of them that really stuck out was I knew the week was going to be more knowledge than just the word being presented to us, but it blessed me so much to see how the teens came in there, and myself included, and how the word just took priority in our hearts, and I don't know, that was really cool, and just how it was cool to see how everyone just took care of each other, myself included with that, but I don't know, I kind of went in just thinking that I was going to take care of people because I was a fellowship leader this year, and my heart got so taken care of, just not even just in those fellowships, but just to see the body of Christ, that's what it's there for, that we can, like Dawn was just saying, that we can fight for each other and help each other stand on the word. That's what I had to share.
Hi, I'm Lear Canson. I'm 18, and this is my 5th year at teen camp. Tom talked about one of the first days that we were there that, you know, this word of God either is 100% true, the word of God, or it's nothing at all. It's not there's really no gray area to it. And I kind of decided this week that I was, I guess, going to put God to the test and see if he was really as faithful as his word said. And I was really blown away because, you know, I've never really made too much of an effort to walk with God before, because I was kind of, you know, I'm raised in the Word, I know this stuff, and it, not really, but, you know, just to see that when you come to God with a humble heart and you really trust that he's going to come through for you, to see just what he can do. It, you know, that we learned in the week that this word of God didn't accidentally get to us. This was a purposeful thing that God set up, and he wanted us to have it. He wanted us to know him. He wanted us to be able to walk with him, and just how clear that is. And to see that when I stop trying to walk by myself or do it my way, but when I trust him and ask him to help me and open my heart, that, you know, that he can work with me, he can show me things, and he's not going to leave me alone, but he's going to help me. When Josh did his teaching, talked about the crucifixion, I had just been praying that God would really open the eyes of my heart and I would just understand more deeply his word, and he did. He didn't let me down. He was faithful, and I got to see his love for us. I got to understand more deeply the real price that he paid when Jesus Christ laid down his life, and that it wasn't just something that happened, but it was because God set it up that way, and he wanted us, and he was willing to pay that price, and he always just makes it so clear. And I just really got blessed this week by seeing how faithful God is, and that his word is, it really is true, and it's not just some book that we read to have something to do for the day, but that he really is faithful and loving, and he wanted us, and he's not going to leave us if we're just humble and trust him. So.
That's gorgeous, because, you know, one of the things we talked about in covering this material on how to read and understand God's word, a key that's usually overlooked is tradition, you know, and I shared with the teens, I think probably the biggest obstacle to understanding God's word is not that we don't know a figure of speech or an Orientalism, or we're not familiar with the Greek or Hebrew or something of that nature, but it's simply tradition. Because tradition tells me, oh, I know that already. You know, tradition is something so deeply held that when I come across a verse of scripture or a question, my mind says, oh, yeah, I know that. And it bars any further learning. And sadly, it's usually wrong. You know, and boy, that's one of the things I love about you teens, because you've got a huge tradition to overcome, which is, oh yeah, I've been raised in the Word, I know all that stuff. But as you just shared so beautifully, there's knowing and there's knowing, right? The eyes of your heart get open a little bit and you realize, oh, I don't really know any of this stuff. Imagine if we could go to God's Word that way every day for the rest of our lives. You know, God, I don't know anything. Teach me. I'm empty. Fill me. You know, now tradition runs deep, and we continue discovering traditions we didn't even know we had, but to even endeavor to go to God's word with that fashion, some of us are doing that, you know, and that might explain what we're so excited about. Because one thing tradition does, it robs you of any joy and excitement, because you think you know it all, you think you've seen it all, you think you've done it all when it comes to God's word, when sadly, in actuality, you haven't done any of it yet, right? So that's great stuff. Boy, I hope you proved me wrong. So it wasn't prophecy, so you're allowed to prove me wrong. And tell you what, 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries, we'll have a big party. You can be in charge. everyone at this teen camp who's still standing on God's word, and you could make a big cake that says, Tom, you were wrong, all right? I'll put you in charge. Okay. Well, we got a few more here. My brother David, come on up.
Morning, everybody. I'm David Bailey. I'm 15. This is my third year at teen camp. The main thing that hit me this year was something I really lost sight of. And, you know, it sucks that it took an entire year to get it back, or an entire week of hearing the word, you know, like the entire day. But, you know, I'm so glad that we have something like this that we can. And that's the power of God's word. And, you know, from hearing how blessed everyone is about Josh's teaching, I bet none of you would guess that that teaching was about scriptural buildup. And it was. And, you know, God knows us. And every word in there, every word in that Bible is put in there on purpose, you know, and if we come to it with humility, he knows how to work with us. And, you know, we cannot deserve to lose that reverence and respect for God's word. And I'm so glad that we're in a fellowship where we have that, you know. And, you know, as teens, like, a major point that Tom talked about a lot was that our culture has told us everything that we cannot do. And they've told us that everything needs to be dumbed down, and that just that we can't handle this, you know? But that's not true. And, you know, we have this word, and I'm so glad that we have a fellowship that it's really centered around that. And, you know, another aspect of that is that it is a living word. And we forget that sometimes, or at least I do. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, we think that we can handle it ourselves, or if we have things on our heart. Like, this week I had a lot of condemnation in my heart, and I didn't have the slightest clue how to approach that. Well, I thought I did. And after a couple nights in the prayer house and, you know, just me trying to get rid of that and absolutely nothing being accomplished, you know, I thought, maybe there's something in the Bible about this. And, you know, after, you know, I talked to somebody about it beforehand, and then I went and just read a section of scripture I've never really read before, and it was 2 Corinthians 7, and it just hit me on so many different levels, like, and it just told me exactly what I needed to hear. And I don't have it saved or anything, but, you know, it said, you know, godly sorrow works repentance. And the way to act on that is to remove yourself from this world and from, not from this world, but from the worldly things and the things that are in our hearts and the things that we hold above God. You know, we don't have to dwell on the past. We don't have to live neck deep in sin, you know. That's behind us. And what we can do is remove ourselves from that, because God deserves that. And if God doesn't deserve our time, then what does? So that's what I realized this week. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Abby Bailey. I'm 18. This is my sixth year at teen camp. I thought I was going to share something that, like, everybody shared, but I guess it was only a revelation to me because I'm so thick-headed. But Tom talked about how we got this word, not the logistics of it, but just in general how we got it. And it's not that, like, mankind made a committee and went up to God and said, God, give us a word. So he was like, okay, I'll get back at you. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to make it as complicated as possible so you guys can spend your life trying to figure it out. But know that it was completely of God's desire for us to know him. So that just, oh my God, it changed my entire approach to the Word. Like, how much more exciting is it to know that instead of every time I open up the Word, I'm entering into a chess match with God, and I'm trying to outwit Him to understand His Word, that I'm going at it with God, and He actually wants me to know His Word, and, like, how much more approachable the Word is now, you know, now that God's on my side, now that this is something that, man, I can have wisdom, which is something I've desired for so long, but it's so simple. It's not like I have to fill a quota for how long I've been trying to stand on the Word or anything, but I can be wise like the people that you see up here on a Sunday morning because I have the same God. And as long as I have the same heart approaching His Word, which is the same Word that they read, you know, it's not like they have a secret Bible that has all the answers already written in it, you know, like, I have the same God, and I can do the same things with the Word in my heart when I recognize God's on my team. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Luden. I'm not sure how many, I think I've been to teen camp 8 times, but I've never been to this teen camp before. And it, that's something I always try and keep in mind. I've never done this. And it always so blesses me to see these guys come in with that kind of heart as well, that these are God's words. And if I remember that and approach it like that, it is always with new eyes. Where do I put my feet? Teach me. I don't know. I don't know how to do this. But I know that God's faithful and that He teaches us and shows us. And like Kathy said, the phrase about, you know, how long have you been in the Word, or let's get into God's Word. Some of those things I was thinking about as we were there, that they can get to be kind of catchphrases where you don't think about what you're saying, that these are God's words from God because we need them, because He wanted to give them to us. And one of the verses that we went to was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that talking about, you know, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. You know, He gave His word because we need it. But if you go back to Genesis, He gave spirit. He made man to walk with Him originally in His ways. And I don't know that it that I ever saw it quite as big before, that He never made man to walk in His own ways. That wasn't God's intent when He made him. He wasn't supposed to have His own ways. He was never supposed to be separate from God. And so for God to take a man that walked away and said, no, I'm going to go my own way, and then spend all this time to communicate His word, to communicate, to bring us back to Him, and then give us His word so that we can walk in His ways. What a God. How wonderful. But like it says, He and so many of the teens said, He doesn't promise to help us in our ways. And the more you think about that, you know, you start getting some of the traditions out of your own head, that which of the things that I'm doing are still my ways? Oh, I've been there, I've done that. Yeah, I know how to manifest. Oh, yeah, I know how to look when we pray. I know how to... And some of the traditions that you just, in the mind, you start examining and getting rid of and recognizing that it's new every time to walk in His ways and not mine, not what I, what others expect, not what I've seen, but really walking, deciding moment by moment to walk in His ways and not my own. And then it is a joy. Then it is a straight path. And it's the way God intended us. So that really thrilled me. And again, thank you for inviting me to be a part of Teen Camp. I think I told Tom at one point, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm cheating every year to be there. But, you know, we can be, one of the reasons being that I get to see the change and the real change. It's not fake, real change in the hearts of these guys. And I get to hold that in my mind all year. Well, even if I'm not there, I can hold that in my brain and heart all year for all of us, that we walk in his ways and not ours. And so, thank you.
Hi, I'm Max, I'm 18, so this is probably my fifth year at teen camp, and sorry if I'm a little bit all over the place. The point I wanted to make was just listening to all the different people speak the word just now has been, you know, reproving and changing me still. But the biggest thing that I really hit me at teen camp was just how sort of everything is just evidence of God's love for us. Like all the different, there's so many different things God does, and it's all for us, and just God's love was really shown to me a lot more. Like the specific teaching that I wanted to share with you guys was the one Will shared about when Jesus Christ first told Peter, hey, you're going to follow me, like you're going to be my disciple, like so come with me. Peter was like, it took three times of Christ coming back to Peter and saying, hey, you went back to your fish again. And he just kept coming back to Peter and giving him a chance. And I don't even remember who was teaching that one, but the teacher was just pointed out that, you know, however many times we walk away from God, walking away from God isn't like this huge deal, like I'm never coming to church again or anything, because we do it all the time. Like Kathy said, how long have we been in the Word? I don't know, 3 seconds, because I don't know, I just got distracted by the deer outside and what, but no matter how far away we turn from God, He's made us completely, just His love for us, He's made us completely sinless, permanently. Like, He completely took away our sin and paid for it all through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And that was a big price, but it paid for a lot. And just no matter how far away we turn from God, no matter how much we get back into that sin nature that we're so, you know, easily distracted and fall into, that God is still there. He's not going to be like, you've gone too far this time, or like, God is just going to be ready and willing to like, okay, you messed up, but my word is still like, you can still walk on it in anything. And it was just such an evidence of God's love that, another thing that hit me was, like, I don't know how many, I've heard this a gajillion times, and in manifestations, I mean, a lot of times I just treat it in my mind as, oh, that's one of the things God says when He talks in manifestations, but it's actually a real thing that God just keeps saying, I've given my son for you, I've paid a great price for you, what would I not do for you? Like, I've said that myself in prophecy a million times, and I just, like, heard it for the first time, that what, like, God is actually saying, what will He not do for you? Like, God's love is so big that your heart can be any degree of close to God, far away from God, and He is not, I mean, if you, it's all dependent on us, that if we walk back to God and say, you know, sorry, I haven't been keeping you in my mind, I haven't had my heart close to you, God will, you know, do things for us. He's ready to, you know, we haven't actually gone anywhere, like, as far as our sin goes, because it's permanently paid for, but God's ready to keep, you know, take us back and let us walk with him again. And I don't know, it's just really cool. That's all.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name's Molly Bradley. I'm 18 years old, and this is my second year at teen camp. And I was going to share a verse with you guys, but while I was in line, God pretty much told me I need to share something else. So I brought up the Bible, but I'm not going to really share anything from it. The first teaching was pretty much really reproving for me, just because, you know, Tom taught about how, you know, this is God's word. These are God's words, and they're nothing less. And I just realized, you know, I wasn't taking God's word for what it was. And, you know, I was reading back home pretty much every day, but I wasn't getting nearly as much out of it as I could. And part of that was just stupid carnal things that I was holding in my heart. And part of it was I realized I didn't know the source of God's word as well as I should. I didn't know God as well as I should. And, you know, when you know, like, the source of a book, when you know the author of a book, you have, like, an expectation of what that book's going to have in it. Like, if someone hands me a book by, like, Jane Austen, I'm going to be like, oh, this is going to be a really good book because I know she's a good author. And so, you know, if I know God, what kind of standard am I going to have for the book that he's given me? And so I took the week just to really get to know my God. And, like, I knew things about God, like, God is good, you know, God is patient, God is kind, God loves me. But, like, you know, what do those things mean, you know? And I just took the week and got to know what those things meant and took some time away from the world and man's standard, because, you know, man's standard is, you know, I love you, but until you screw up and then I don't like you anymore. Or, like, you know, I'm patient and I'll wait for you until I get tired of waiting. Like, that's man's standard. But, you know, God's standard, just, like, as I went to his word, I realized God's standard for everything he is Jesus Christ. And, like, it just blew me away just to see how much higher that standard is. And, you know, once I, between, you know, getting to know my God and just the awesome teachings that were done about, you know, how to go to God's word, just I was able to get so much more out of it than I ever had before. So, yeah, that's what I had to share with you guys.
Hi, my name's Rachel McCall. This is my fourth year at teen camp. I'm 16. I guess the biggest thing that hit me this week was Tom's second teaching. It was Tuesday morning, and he talked about believing the words that we were reading, and it was a real eye-opener because, you know, so many times you go to his word or you're placed in a situation where you, like, I don't know, an example, the nine manifestations, you know, it's like you have to psych yourself up. All right, I'm going to believe this. And you get, you know, you get that habit built in your brain that it's by your own works or it's your believing that's going to make it happen, and it's not. It's trusting the God that made the promise, and it's trusting in the God that, you know, that gave you the word. And I think just seeing that it's not by my own works that believing happens, you know, it's simple. It's not just, you know, okay, I'm going to believe. Yeah, I'm going to believe. You know, you psych yourself up for it, but it's, you know, it can be at an instant. But, yeah, I guess that's all I have.
Hello, my name is Diana Tierney. This is the second time that I've volunteered for teen camp. This is going to be really short. I just want to read 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Called us unto life and godliness. I figured I'm going to go to teen camp and I'm going to be taking care of the food. I'm going to be helping. God's pretty much going to be on vacation with me taking care of me as a person, you know. And then you wind up being delivered from something you've been hanging on to for 20, 25 years. So I just want to say that God doesn't go on vacation when you're just in the kitchen or something like that. So that's all I wanted to share.
Hello, my name is Daniel Jobin. I'm 22, and this is my eighth year at Teen Camp. And I don't know, I got the privilege to run a fellowship this year. It's the first time I've ever done that. I learned a lot, but I guess the greatest thing that God really worked with me and showed me on deeper than I've ever seen it before is just, you know, the complete honesty we can all have with each other. And, you know, it's like once you believe on Christ, it's like you're free from having to act a certain way or hide things that you're struggling with or and stuff like that. But I don't know, God just really opened my eyes to it, and I saw how closely it is just, you know, completely, you know, the work of Christ and what he accomplished. And I don't know, it's just it's a beautiful thing how honest and we can be with each other, and just honestly how freeing that is. Like, oh man, it's like God is so good to us. And I don't know, I mean, you guys know that you can be completely honest and open with each other, right? Like, it's like if we're gonna do this thing together, if we're gonna stand and fight together, we got to be honest. We got to get brutally honest with each other. And it's just a beautiful thing that Christ accomplished that, and just how freeing it is that we can be honest. And, you know, I don't know. I guess that was the main thing I saw. I love you guys. Thank you.
And I might add that if you don't mind, can I add to that, Daniel? Okay. To truly get brutally honest with each other requires first that I'm brutally honest with myself and I'm brutally honest before God. Otherwise, what I call honesty is just going to be my feelings, right? I'll be honest with you. You just make me mad all the time. Oh, no. In order for that kind of honesty to live in the body of Christ requires individuals who love and trust God enough to bear their hearts before him first and foremost and expose all the good, the bad, and the ugly to the light of God's word. Then I'm in a place where I can be honest with others because I'm also going to be honest about my own weakness, you see. And that's, I know what he was referring to. And boy, when that reigns in a fellowship like it did in these teen fellowships this week, some wonderful things can occur, can't they? By the way, Daniel, where are you? How old did you say you were?
22.
He's 22. What's he doing at teen camp? Just for your general information, when next year rolls around, we wink a little bit at the upward age of teen camp because we've had some, I think Dustin, how many years did you come to teen camp? Two? 3 years, and he wasn't a teen for any of them. And he turned out okay, I think. So, well, we have one more thing we want to share with you this morning. You know, every year at teen camp, we generally have scriptures that we memorize in our fellowships. But this year we did something a little different for our own edification. And also we did this to put it right back in the face of the devil and anybody else who wants us to believe that for some reason the human brain has shrunk and teens can only hold one or two items in their brains for 30 seconds or so, and then it's all gone. What a devilish, devilish, devilish teaching that's pervaded our school systems, our media, and even some of us adults who ought to know better, that for some reason the teen mind or the young person's mind can't hold God's word to the degree that God says we can. That's a lie from hell. We can hold anything we choose to hold in there, and one thing we chose to hold this week was what? Books of the Bible. So teens who were at camp, up. Okay. 180? Okay, here we go. Genesis, Exodus,
Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms.
Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 John, 2 Revelation.
All right. No. Keep standing. And the rest of you can stand with us, and we're going to sing number 135. We can sing it a cappella, I think. We're standing on God's Word. Okay, ready? We're
standing on God's Word. Steadfastly on God's Word.
Thanks for coming today, and stick around if you can.